Jeremiah chapter 14 verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits, and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there is no rain in the earth, the ploughmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field, and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places, they snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did feel, because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Saviour thereof in the time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. What to do in a day of trouble? And boy, are we ever in trouble in this land of Canada. This pandemic is grinding on. And what we thought would be a short period has turned into an unthinkable, lengthy, drawn-out process. And many are weary, many are really wondering, what is the Lord doing? Here in Jeremiah 14, we learn of a day of trouble for Israel when God was withholding the rain, when the ground was chapped and the people were greatly distressed. And Jeremiah had a word for the Lord, from the Lord for the people. And I trust that this message will be as water to your soul today. In this land of Canada, we need to get back to God. Let the Bible Speak is really about calling people back to the Bible. The Word of the Lord, the Scriptures of Truth, is God's message for men and women in all ages. And whatever our situation, God speaks through His Word. But many are not listening. Many churches are not preaching the Word of God as they should. Many are not holding forth the gospel warnings to sinners to flee from the wrath to come, to prepare to meet their God. And so today we must do that. And I invite you to stay with us right through the program, and may the Lord minister to your heart and lead you to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus. That's how to prepare. That's how to wait on the Lord, to exercise faith in the Savior. May the Lord minister to you as we turn to our message today.
Concerning the drought, and if you scan over the first six verses, you will just see how disastrous it was. There was no water in the wells, there was no water in the pits, there was no grass. The animals were dying, and the people were in dire straits. And, of course, everyone is quick enough to see the obvious connection that God is in control of these things and he brings them about, and we have to recognize that this coronavirus that is raging across our countries, affecting millions upon millions of people, is the hand of God at work. These are fearful times to so many. The sick are multiplying, and the medical people are racing to fight this pandemic. Now, we need to look into the history of this severe drought under Judah and learn from it. We need to take those historical lessons that applied to Jeremiah and the people of Judah and be able to look at that history and see how God worked in that time, the reasons why he brought this drought, and the lessons that needed to be learned. And of course, we have Jeremiah, God's prophet, God's mouthpiece, right in the midst of it. He had a serious responsibility to preach the word of the Lord in that time of drought. And likewise, every gospel preacher has a very serious responsibility to preach to the day in which we minister. Now, John 3:16 is still there, but we need to go to those sections of the Bible where we learn about God working in these kinds of situations. Now, the great lesson here is that lesser judgments, lesser or little judgments, are sent to warn of greater. And the simple application is that if man cannot stand against this silent killer of a virus that you could put on a pinhead, how is man going to stand against Almighty God in his wrath on the judgment day? Now, this is brought up, if you go back with me, to Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. And there is this teaching on lesser judgments ought to warn us about greater. And in chapter 12, 5, it says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" The lesson's obvious. If you cannot keep up with footmen, men who are just on foot, how can we keep up with that fast horse? And again, if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, how shalt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Now, Jordan was annually prone to overflowing its banks, causing floods, and that would be great upsetting to the people. Now, if they are weary in days of peace and normality, how shall they do in the day of flooding when the banks of Jordan overflow? And so the great lesson is that if man cannot withstand a puny virus, how are we going to stand against the great God on the eternal day? And this is a powerful warning to the wicked, a powerful warning to those who say that they don't need Christ as their Savior. You are facing, it is staring you in the face that you are vulnerable. You cannot stand before God without his grace. Now, what did Jeremiah do about this? He was the man in the midst. He was the man of the hour. He was God's prophet, God's mouthpiece. What did he do? Well, I learn from this chapter that Jeremiah took these matters to prayer and to crying out to God. And so we too are informed by this what we must do. We must go to our God in prayer, pleading for his grace and his mercy. So let's look tonight in this Jeremiah chapter 14, how Jeremiah prayed. And that will teach us how we should pray. And if you are not willing to bow the knee and pray in this hour, I fear, when will you ever bow the knee to the Lord and seek his face. Look at verse 7 firstly. Here is Jeremiah's response to the drought. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee. Now, Jeremiah did not just mourn over the lack of rain and the drought, the suffering that that brought, but he went further. He got to the cause of the rain being turned off and the drought in the land. And he went immediately to recognize that God had shut up the rain because of the sins in the land. And that has to be our focus as we pray for Canada today. Or else we're going to get a slight healing. We're going to get people in Canada who say, oh, I need deliverance from this danger. But if they are not brought to repentance, to turn from their sins, then it will be just as it was in the day of Jeremiah. There were those false prophets saying, peace, peace, and healing the people slightly. Now, hear Jeremiah's statement right there in verse 7. Our iniquities testify against us. They were pointing the finger. They were pointing out their guilt. And of course, that is true today. And the first use of this word in the Old Testament is by Cain when he called it punishment. Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. It was such a heavy sentence of guilt that it burdened him down. And of course, such is the guilt upon our nation here in Canada. Canada has become a leader in progressive liberalism that has jettisoned God, jettisoned fixed truth, and Canada has become an experimental nation for man's rebellion to God. And this is true from our prime minister to almost every politician. For none of our political parties in Canada has a platform of biblical morality. There is none that will speak up for the unborn. There are none that will stand up for biblical marriage. Pride parades have the support of the general population, and that has always caused me to cringe. Why would anyone, husband, wife, take their children along to such a pride parade? And that shows their toleration, what in the LGBTQ community is called allies. And unfortunately, there are multitudes of people in this country that are tolerant of these things. And of course, churches too have followed this agenda. And I say tonight, shame on you. Shame on any preacher, Bible teacher, or religious leader that has pushed this perverted agenda and given a leadership in this country where the people are taught lies concerning morality. But we have to confess ourselves that we have become somewhat tolerant. We almost grow used to these things. Did we protest? Did we cry out? What was our witness against such sins? And I take here from God's word, as I take the parallel lesson, God sending drought in Jeremiah's time because of the iniquities of the land, that this virus, we have to recognize, is a warning, a lesser warning, a judgment of greater judgment to come. And for those who live in iniquity and who resist the word of the Lord and who defy God and his truth, well, they're going to meet the overflow of Jordan. They're going to see the flood of God's wrath How will you stand in this day? And so we need to pray not just for healing in the land that things might be materially and temporally well, but a true healing where men turn from their sins and truly turn unto the Lord. Now look at the latter part of verse 7 where Jeremiah confesses, "For our backslidings are many." Now you'll see the godliness of this man as the spokesman and representative of the people. He doesn't just say the people's sins are many, he puts himself in there and he says our sins are many. And this must be the posture of the church. We have to mourn and lament and sense the burden of iniquity and the displeasure of God, and recognize that we also are a part of the problem, and cry out to God that he will have mercy. And so you can see that he prayed with a confession of iniquities. Now in that verse 7, you also see that he prayed for the Lord's name's sake. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. This is a burden for the honor of the Lord's name. Obviously, in Judah, God's name was forsaken. There was false worship and idolatry. Idols were invoked on the hills, in the fields. If you go way back to chapter 13, verse 27, you will see that it says, "I have seen thine adulteries and thy nains, the lewdness of thy whoredom and thine abominations on the hills in the fields." That's idolatry. That is an analogy, just as a faithless wife departs from her husband and turns to other things. So when God's people turn away from the Lord, it's called adultery. It's spiritual adultery. It is turning hearts, devotion, and our love to other things. And in this land, Canadians are seriously guilty of these things. And I fear also, to some degree, many professing Christians. Now, you'll see here that Jeremiah did not plead his own name. He did not plead the goodness of God's people. He pleaded as one who was absolutely bankrupt of any good. And the only argument he could make was the Lord's name's sake. Now that's our cue for prayer. That's our plea with God. Because why should God be gracious to Canada? There is no argument as we scan this land that will have any power with God. This land is ripe for judgment. It is a land that has deserved the wrath of God. But we pray for the Lord's name's sake, for his church, for his honor and his glory. And we need to pray that the gospel will again prevail in this land, and for the kingdom of the Lord to expand in this country. Will you do that? Every professing Christian needs to waken up to the reality of the call to humbling ourselves and praying, crying to God. Now, we move on to Jeremiah's next focus in prayer, verse 8, and you'll see that he prayed that men would recognize the Savior as their only hope. And he cries out, "O hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in the time of trouble." Now, surely we can preach this in Canada. We can preach this in our generation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the hope of Israel, but he's also the hope of the world. We are to preach Christ to every creature, go into all the world. And so every Canadian needs to hear this message that Jesus is our hope. Now think of what our Lord has done. Think of the glory that the Lord Jesus left when he came from heaven. He was once in the presence of the Father, sharing all his glory, but he came down into this world, took a human body in his incarnation, and he lived among men a sinless life. And he triumphed over sin, against every temptation, against every attack of the devil. We know his preaching and teaching, and then his submission to death. How our Lord planned, schemed for the day when he would suffer on that cross. And we hear his cry from that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was the suffering Savior in the place of sinners, bearing the wrath of God due to every sinner. And the Lord Jesus took that load of sin upon himself. And then to crown it, he cried out, it is finished. Every sin had to go beneath the cleansing flow. And this is the Savior that Canadians need. This is the Savior that you and I need. And I plead with you tonight that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, because he is the hope of the world. And we can take this to any, in the face of this coronavirus, people are fearful for their health and their lives, and perhaps those who have already contracted this virus or who are battling for their life, we can come alongside and say, the Lord Jesus is the hope of the world. He is your hope as you face the uncertainty of life. And one day, I'm not in any way wishing death on anyone, but one day we're all going to face death. And we need the Savior. We need the grace of the Lord Jesus. He is the hope of sinners, and he's the hope of all eternity. We need to realize the wonderful life, the wonderful grace that is in Christ. Now, just to focus on that, think of the seven I Ams which Jesus claimed for himself. He said, I am the bread of life. And there is a figure of speech where the Lord is full of all grace and all nourishment for his people. He said, I am the light of the world. He is the one that brings life. I am the door. He's the way to the Father. He's the way to heaven. I am the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And of course, our Lord Jesus faced death, went into the tomb, was under the power of death for 3 days, 3 nights, but rose again. He not only said it, but he proved it. I am the resurrection and the life. He said also, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then seventhly, I am the true vine. And all of these self-claims the Lord made for himself just proves the life that is in the Lord Jesus. And so you need to know, and our family and our loved ones, our neighbors, Canadians need to know that Jesus is truly the hope of the world. And he's the hope of every sinner that will recognize their need of salvation and peace with God. And so I point you tonight to the person and the victory of the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And we need to pray that the Canada comes to know the Savior, and many are brought to faith in him. Now, moving on to verse 8, why shouldest thou be a stranger in the land? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied? That's on in verse 9. And then it says, as a mighty man that cannot save. These are perplexing statements. We need to pray for the Lord to rise up in power to save. Now, the word astonied there means dumb. God's not speaking. The Lord's not ministering. And he is as a mighty man that does not save. Now, I do not doubt the might, the equality, and the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus. But we do have to recognize that in our day, very few are being added to the church. Very few are being born of the Spirit and brought into the kingdom. Where is the power of the Lord in this land? And here is Jeremiah recognizing that God, it's as if he went on a journey. It's as if he's absent for a time. And this has been our experience also. It's as if we had in the church are dead and powerless. We are in a condition of inability. And yet, you'll notice that Jeremiah says at the end, thou art in the midst of us. Look at verse 9, about four lines down. Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us. And we are thankful that in our gatherings, in the church, in our homes, the Lord has not forsaken his people. He never will. He never can. But when it comes to gathering out a people and building the church, it's as if the Lord is not working. And we need to pray just as Jeremiah did. And you'll notice his last three words in verse 9. Leave us not. Oh, that needs to be prayed. And you and I need to take that to heart and say, Lord, don't leave us. Don't leave us, Lord. We need you so greatly. And what a heartbreaking thing tonight to look over this empty sanctuary. But Lord, don't leave us. We're in a fix. We're in great distress. We can't assemble. We can't come together as your people. God's people are scattered. Lord, don't leave us. We need to cry out for the Lord to visit in mighty power, to rise up as that mighty man who does save. We need the Lord to come into the midst and so work.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.